Welcome, everyone, to the Blessings of Christ on the 7th day of January, 2024. This is our first blessing call of the year, because last week we were doing a New Year's Eve blessing call, the last day of 2023. So let's bracket these 2 days with the best of the best, from remembered a year ago and from envisioned in a year to come. We are so glad that you're here, because it makes a difference for everybody. It's, you know, Yeshua is with you always. You could ask him always, but you probably don't, because in the company of others, his presence feels more palpable. His energy seems to be more available, and it's really, really sweet and endearing to have someone share the moment with you, to witness your gratitude or your needs or your hopes and dreams. Just being together in the presence of Christ is its own kind of blessing. The more you're here, the more good you do for everyone. And that doesn't mean you need to speak. I know some people really like to be with God in quiet, in silence. Even in a church, they'll sit in a pew in their solitude and quiet prayer and look around, but not make it a particularly social occasion. That's a preference, my friends. No enforcement in our congregation. We are here for you, however the way you and God like to create it. But we're joined with you, and that's a big plus for everybody. So we're also extremely happy to have Nancy back. We did miss you. That includes every single one of us, cats included, dogs included, who also join us on this call and have their own kind of participation from their domain of life and happiness. So let's just open the queue, Nancy, and see who's here, because I think that's often the very best way of starting our call. We find out what's on the minds of other people, what's in the hearts wanting to be set forth or released and gratified. So who do we have, Nancy?
Hello.
Hello. Nancy, are you here? I think we lost Nancy. Ben?
I was muted, but we lost Stormy. So, Stormy, go ahead and sign back in. For some reason,
I think Stormy must have been muted, too. Okay. Well, we were wondering. We thought maybe you were lifted on high. hey, Nancy.
Here he is. I've got him back. Hold on. Let's open his line. Stormy, can you hear us now? Stormy,
hello.
Try to unmute yourself. There you are.
Yeah. I didn't touch nothing.
Well,
really?
It was one of those magical things.
Yeah. Right off the bat, I want to give blessing and thanks for the blessings that I know are coming. I've got blood work coming up tomorrow. I've got water, this artesian water coming tomorrow. I've got a car coming in the future, so I just want to go ahead and give blessing for the blessings I know that are already there.
Yep.
Yay.
Well, that's the way it is, Stormy. Actually, our blessings already exist, but they haven't. The first step of seeing them come is that we can envision that we want them. You know, there are blessings out there that you and I and everybody else haven't even thought about yet that we might need or want, because the occasion for bringing them to our awareness hasn't happened yet. Once that occasion brings them to our awareness, we know they're actually on the train heading our way. The next step, of course, is acknowledging that we actually want them and need them, and we offer gratitude that we have been provided them. And the next step is to arrive at the train station ready to unload them. You know, you've got to be an active participant in recognizing, anticipating, waiting, and receiving your blessings. In the process, offering gratitude, gratitude one, gratitude two, gratitude three, gratitude four. Hey, God, I got it. It's awesome. It's in the process for me, or you couldn't even see it.
Yeah, I wanted to also give my take on we've always got Jesus there for us. Well, that's really nice and beautiful, but I've already got everybody else. We have each other.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's where he's trying to help us get to be, that I already know that we have each other.
Yes. Yes. And actually, it's a very big part of bringing heaven to earth.
Oh, yeah. I understand that, as you understand well, knowing me. That's what my music is about, and that's what I'm about. Another blessing, my housekeeper told me Friday that she says, you know, everybody in town is sure missing you, because I haven't been out for 4 months. And everywhere she goes, they go, well, where's Stormy? How is Stormy doing? So people are missing me, and soon enough I'll be back out in the community. That's a real nice blessing that so many people, everywhere she goes, people go, you know,
yeah,
people are missing you. And they say,
that's a big deal. Yeah.
Say hello. And that's that, you know, we have each other, folks.
We sure do.
We do.
We need to remember that we do have each other.
Stormy, I think that's one of the most important things about the holidays we celebrate. You know, we could forget why there was a first Thanksgiving. We could forget about all the different family reunions we've had at Thanksgiving. What really calls us into joy and appreciation is looking forward to being with someone. You know, that's what all the holidays are. It's where we come together to create a festival in our union.
That's why I tell everybody that every day is a holiday for me. Because I have that communion every day with everybody, all the time.
You certainly contribute to our community here, Stormy. You really give us a lot of sustenance and beauty, and we really appreciate you.
And we are having some really beautiful Texas weather for Fort Worth and East Texas and the great state of Texas. We got snow coming up north, though.
Oh, we do. I was going to add that. You beat me to it.
Well, the panhandle is, you have to take into consideration that they're 4,000 feet up.
Oh, yeah. It might as well be New Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on for the next beautiful caller just awaiting to bring us their message.
Okay.
You know, I'm not seeing anybody come online, and Nancy, this is unusual. I'm wondering everybody got muted.
Let's see.
Okay. I've got us on a Q&A mode.
Folks, come on in. Like Glenda said earlier, you know, I just love what you said, Glenda, about, you know, we're here to witness each other's gratitude and our needs and bring. Whoops, now we got to get back into.
Well, okay. We're going to try again because I think on my computer there was a confusion between lecture mode and Q&A mode. In lecture mode, everybody's muted. So, Nancy, are you there?
I am here, and folks, we've got Mara on the line, and we sure would love to hear from you, Mara, for this new year. We can't wait to hear from you. Your line is open, Mara.
Hallelujah. We have somebody in the queue. Okay. Hello, Mara.
Hello. It's wonderful to be here. And I have a request for my family, and I always hesitate to go through the names because there's so many. So I hope, I know that Yeshua will know that I'm talking about everybody in my family, which is a pretty big one. And
of course he will.
I would like to envision a deeper awakening in myself and in my family to the richness and beauty in life. If we just keep looking for it and try not to go into that bag of fear that seems to be traveling around these days. And then I would like to thank this community for all the prayers and for an expression that you used once in one of the webinars, the tender mercies of God and Yeshua.
Oh, yeah. Oh, their mercy never ends. Their mercy never ends, Mara. I wouldn't be here without it. And I would venture to say that would be true for most of us. Because
I'm sure it is. And I would like to give thanks, of course, to all of you. This has been a wonderful group that is wanting and making sure they, if possible, will be here every Sunday for blessings. It's, you've done a remarkable thing.
She really is.
Charge. Just wonderful.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mara. Glenda really sustains all of us every week, individually and as a family and as a community. And it just really kind of, you know, helps keep us, you know, guided in our true self each week. So thank you, Mara, for saying all that.
Well, thank you.
You have our blessings and his blessings always. I had, after being with him, I have to admit that I was really quite overwhelmed. For a few years because my next step in life was to share the painting with the world. And the positive, well, more than that, transformative effect it was having on people was just my bread on the water for having spent decades creating the talent I needed to produce that. That was the whole purpose of my career as an artist. I really realized after that, and I looked at myself sitting at the easel, and I just said, well, is there any place to go from this? And in the short run, the answer was no, there isn't. You did it, girl. This was what it was all about. And so I just kind of put away my brushes, pushed my easel in the corner and spent my time being with people in regard to the painting. But after I was asked to speak, I began to wonder, well, what is this all about? Obviously, he's got another goal for using me. And the only thing I could think about had still not really taken shape yet, but it was forming because congregations and congregations of people were coming together just to hear what he had to say. And finally, I got it. His goal was to create a church without walls, a church that was global, that had no boundaries, that had, well, I guess you might say the only boundary would be lies and misinformation or deception of people. But other than that, the truth is the only thing he was interested in bringing, light, the way, the truth, and the light. And I found myself conducting that energy on his behalf. And so it just shaped up a little more and a little more, Mara, to become this church without walls that is global. And I think right now the best presentation of it is online because that is global. There may come a day where we also will want to have an anchor point somewhere on the planet where which becomes the archive of the church and the history of the church and that sort of thing. But for now, this is it. Us coming together is actually his wish, his dream, his goal. And therefore, can you imagine how happy he is that we come together? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you come together with troubles. He'll help you. It doesn't matter if you come together with dreams and goals that you haven't fulfilled yet. He'll help you fulfill them. You just come here to be with one another in love, and we move forward. That's it. That's as simple as that. In fact, the coming together here is the example of the last two commandments he left to us, all of us, and that is just to love one another and to love God with all our mind, heart, and soul. That's what we do. That's it. Yeah.
You know, when you talked about what was not, you did not realize until it started happening why you had been, other than that you loved to paint. But I remember going to a meeting one time out in Medora, North Dakota, which was a mental health meeting. And this woman said to me, "What church do you belong to?" And I said, "I belong to the church of no doors and that anyone can belong to." And that just popped out of me. I had no idea what I was saying. I didn't even know. I mean, I knew nothing about you then. And when
that's great.
Reading that book and or listening to the tape, I thought, oh, my goodness. Here it is.
You were already on the path. Well, he laid this path out 2,000 years ago, my friend. I didn't create it. I just happened to find it and walk on it. And, of course, that's the joy of my life.
Yes, that's wonderful.
So any of you who find it and walk on it, I think you will rejoice in the fact that you found it.
Oh, I already have many, many times, and still do. So thank you so much for accepting.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
And have a wonderful 2024, Mara.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mara, and we will keep your family in our hearts and in the blessing today and all your wonderful thoughts for our whole community. We love you so much.
Thank you. I love all of you so much, too.
Okay. Thank you, Mara. I'm going to move on. Glenda, we've got so many beautiful callers that are now coming online. We have Eva. Eva, happy New Year. Hi there.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just found out recently that my niece's husband had cancer a couple of years ago, which they're a distance away, so I don't get to see them. But he's now, they say they can't do anything more for him, so he's in hospice. And I would like to have blessings for him. His name is Keith. His wife is Rachel. They have 5 children of their own who are married, and they have 14 grandchildren. So it's quite a, you know, it's of course difficult for them all to be a part of this. Of course, they have each other, but still, he was still working up until, like, he went back to work after some treatments a while back, but now he's gotten worse again, and so I'd just like some blessings for that family.
Yes.
Rachel and Keith. Yeah.
We will remember them in our blessings and in the coming week and weeks.
And
so let us know so that we
and
can
I would
bless
like
him
to have,
on his way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was getting a little bit better even after he was in hospice. So he said, well, you know, there always are the miracles that can happen. We don't know, you know.
Oh, there are.
Even though the doctors say a certain thing, you don't know whether they're right or not. And so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the story right now.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
For myself, I have to do a CAT scan for my stomach. My pain is much better, so that's a real blessing.
That's good.
Yeah, but I still have this pressure in my stomach, and we're not sure what that's all about. The x-rays didn't show anything major. So we shall see what the CAT scan tells after I get that appointment. And I would like to have some more blessings to help me along the way. And I really want to be able to get help me to be able to take care of myself again instead of having other people have to help me take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
So,
of course.
In fact, that is what I would like to happen in 2024. And so I thank you for that, too.
Oh, yeah. The year of recovery for you.
Yeah.
Your freedom, your independence, your pain-free health.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That would be wonderful.
I know.
Thank
we
you.
Pray for you, Eva. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Thank
and happy
you.
24.
Thank you.
Eva. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for following, Eva. And now we have Lorraine.
Hi, everyone. Blessed 2024. And I have a kitty who's going to get neutered on Thursday of this week. He's they're going on 7 months now, and I know that's pretty routine, but I just wanted to include that in the blessing to go smoothly and not too much trauma and all that stuff. And also a prayer of gratitude that the kitten and my 14-year-old cat are getting along pretty well. And may that continue. And also, just for me, on that morning, I have to get up really early to get the kitty to the vet, and not my rhythm. So
I know that one. Uh-huh. Yes.
So thank you very much for all you animal lovers out there. His name is Obi.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, what is his name?
All right.
O-B-I.
O-B-I.
And my other cat, Jasmine. Thank you so much.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lorraine, for asking on behalf of our beautiful animals that are such a part of our lives. So we
yeah, and anyone else who's got animal stuff going on with the vet. Blessings.
Well, it's a new year, so you know there's bound to be some things.
Yes. And, you know, I'll add one little thing, a little brief statement. They understand what we say better than we know they do. It takes them a while, I think, to learn the combination of voice, tone, and words. But they put it together. They're very smart at anything, but especially at things that have to that build their connection to the ones who care for them and love them. It's their survival tool.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, I was sitting in my comfort chair, and I pull another chair up close so one of my other cats can sit beside me, and they love it. They take turns. Who gets to sit beside Mom? And one of them, the one that was sitting there, stood up a little bit, just enough to nudge my arm, and I rubbed him a little bit. He kind of arched his back like, oh, that feels good. And then he kind of pestered me for food. And I said, no, it's not time for dinner. He pestered me some more. And I said, no, Rama, it's not time for treats either. Now, we can cuddle if you want to. Well, he kept pestering me. And I said, well, that's okay, Rama. It's okay. You have pestering privilege. Because you're my kid, so you can pester me all you want to, but you're not getting treats. Well, he settled back down like, gee, did she have to say that? And he got up again to pester me. And I said, it's okay, you can pester me. And I added to that, because Rama, you're my adopted child. You're family. And family can pester each other.
Right.
You wouldn't believe how thrilled he was. I mean, this little guy's 4 years old. He knows I love him. But that touched him so deeply. He stood up on his hind feet, put his cheek on my cheek, rubbed his cheek to me, and kissed me on my cheek.
Aw.
The fact that I told him he was my adopted child, he understood that I said that. And then he just got back in his seat and purred and purred and purred.
Uh-oh.
They know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can control them with love. You know, that's what Yeshua told me. He said, you know, you can control anything with love. You just have to put your heart into it and be firm.
That's so true. Right,
thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's so true. Well, thank you, Lorraine.
Well, it's just a sweet little story. I thought you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Blessings. Thanks.
You're welcome. We have, is this Nancy from Austin?
Yes. Welcome back, Nancy from Austin.
Thank you.
All right. No, I wasn't going to say anything, but it was like, okay, if you need somebody to say something, thank you for this week. It has, things have, are falling into place to get the year started. I got to get a tooth extracted on Wednesday, so hopefully I'll get all the paperwork in so that they will extract the tooth. So blessings on the red tape, you know, that it gets out of the way. All those little things that we got to do in order to get things done or to get things fixed or finding the right person or just to get things done and so that we can do important things like take care of sister if she gets, you know, really ill. We won't know until February if it's a brain tumor or what they're going to do and the plan, it's plans for my sister. So keep her in on the blessings, and
we will.
But thank you. This is, the weather is gorgeous. I'm so sorry for everybody else in the country, but
I really mean that.
You're in Texas. We're just doing fine. And so, for those people that have to make terrible decisions, stand by them and help them be strong. And people are going through bad times, help them, you know, to be strong and to get through it. And so that's the blessings that I ask for.
Oh, that's a great blessing to ask. And help us to remember that all of life is a cycle. We're all going to go through times of hard choices. We're all going to go through times of loss. We will all go through times of grief, but we're also going to go through times of great joy, where new life comes into our life, where new blessings are thrilling, where growth is happening, and laughter and cherished moments are being made. And, you know, we don't want to leave those times, but life moves on. It's a river that has to flow.
Right.
And but the river is a river of blessing that will come back to us with our own joys remembered forever in the heart of God. From being here, doing our work, being here for one another, we will bring heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm.
One day
blessings for my drivers. I have to get my eyes dilated, and they want me to have a driver for, you know, when they put me to sleep and everything, so I don't be groggy. So blessings on my drivers who are going to take me to and fro. And so thank you for them, that they would take their time and help me.
Well, that's just it. That's an example of what we do for one another. And so often we forget to say thank you for the things we think are just part of life. I think, you know, we tend to save our thanks only for the delightful things, and our grief only for the terrible things. But we can have compassion for anyone through any stage of life. And I highly recommend that you cultivate the depth and the art of compassion, because it will see you through all of your times in life with moderation, where your joys will not be so extreme that you don't want them to pass, and your griefs will not be so extreme that you think life will be over.
Mm.
Through compassion, we join in the lives of others, and then we can approach our own life with moderation. That was the last wisdom that we were given by Gautama Siddhartha after he achieved the state of Buddhahood. And he said, all things in moderation. Mm-hmm. And of course, he had already mastered the art of compassion. It goes together. As we learn compassion, we learn that whatever can happen to anyone else can also happen to us. Maybe not in the same measure, maybe not with the same rhythm or the same emphasis or the same reasons, but it's all part of the mixture of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can experience it all together, we have added richness to our life and availability of our life to everyone else.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Amen. So powerful. What a blessing.
Because when you acknowledge the beauty that other people bring, you almost, you know, it beautifies your life and brings light and happiness, you know, to what we have. And, you know, so it's just, you know, I'm sitting here with a cat on my lap. So, yeah, I understand completely.
I was once thinking about what it would be like to be one of the wealthiest. I'm talking about material wealth. One of the wealthiest people on earth. And it occurred to me, I would have everything at my fingertips. And I'm talking about things, the physical service, things that can be purchased, every service that can be purchased. I would have everything at my fingertips, at my beck and call. And I would have only a few people available in my life and almost no one who would have compassion for me.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So think about that.
Well, you look at, and you look at the people that do have a vast amount of money, and they're trying to do everything to keep that vast amount of money. And I'm kind of going, I think I have enough to retire. I think I'll be okay. You know, and then as soon as I get these bills paid, then I can help those people, or I'll help them now. You know, it's like, you know, so I'm just kind of going, this, I don't need a whole lot of money. I just need enough for now.
Nobody,
you know, for, nobody needs a whole bout of money. And, you know, so it's like, what are you doing with it? You know?
Okay. Well,
it's
I think that's one of the
it's downright
one of
silly
the lessons. It's like a kid with Legos, and he winds up building a Legos unit bigger than the house they're living in. And Dad says, "Well, what are you going
to
do with this?
Can
Where are you going
to
put it?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you all.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Nancy. And thank you, guys. Stormy, every time I hear from you, I think you're wonderful. Anyway, just fun to know.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, God bless you, Nancy. Bye-bye. We've got so many wonderful callers. We have a caller from area code 281.
Hi. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. So much has been said today. It's just really struck home for me. Great stuff about the river. I think that was something I really needed to hear right now about the river of life. I haven't been on this call for a few months, and I just real quick I wanted to update you all on the reason I called last time because didn't want to leave people hanging. But I'm having the problems with feeling like, you know the saying, I feel like I'm beside myself. Well, I feel like, you know, whenever I'm trying to meditate or just sleep and rest, I feel like I'm off to the side of myself. And so I've been making a lot of good progress on that note. First of all, I appreciate everything all the people shared and the advice they gave me, the books they suggested the following Sunday. And I wrote everything down, and I still can refer to those notes over time. And at first I felt like things got really jumbled up. And you know how at first maybe something seems like it gets a little worse before it gets better? And I think that kind of happened with me. But now I feel like things are starting to line up better, and I feel like I'm still on that path. Like it's been a good path, and I feel like things are moving in a good direction. And also, Glenda, you had recommended to me at the group session we had a few weeks ago about doing the blessing maybe for myself. And I found that to be very, very powerful. I also, yes?
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought somebody started to say something. The problem I'm often having, though, is I feel like I should be praying for other people. And that I feel like praying for myself is kind of hard. But I have noticed that anytime I'm praying for myself, I feel like I'm really praying for everybody. It's kind of like
you
there's
are.
Really no separation anyway. And
there's no separation. You are.
Right. And like when I pray for others, I feel like I'm getting a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. You are.
Kind of the way it's been working. And one of the things I've been doing is I've reflected on your explanation and your conversation with Yeshua about the fish that he blessed and
mm-hmm.
where he was able to make the many, many fishes. And you asked him how he did that. And he said, well, I recall you said it. He said that, well, I just took one fish and I just loved it. Loved it, loved it. And
yeah.
how all the other fish, you know, were able to be multiplied. And I really find myself using that description in my prayers for people, which is the main reason I called today. But when I know of someone who is hurting in a big way, I think of them as that one fish, and I ask God, you know, to let that blessing go to that fish, but also to all of the fish who may have that same problem. And right now, the little fish that I'm praying for is our friend Alexis, who's gotten herself in a lot of trouble. I have friends with three other older women who have all,
mm-hmm.
single women, who've all adopted children. Among us,
mm-hmm.
we have six. And Alexis was raised as a honorary cousin, I guess, with my two girls who I've adopted. And I found out of the six, I'd say half of them have some pretty serious issues, perhaps related to their adoption stories are just, who knows. Alexis seemed to have a great childhood, but then in the last few years, suddenly something has kind of gone wrong, and she's been diagnosed with several mental health issues. And she's gotten herself in a lot of trouble with the law. She's been in jail a couple of times.
Oh,
and
mm-hmm.
her mother is also, like myself, you know, in her 70s, and she's single. And so it's a great
mm-hmm.
it's a great situation for their family to be working through this. And she's was working as a nurse, which because of what happened, she's not going to be able to continue in that career. So we're going to need, you know, a lot of positives, a lot of good, healthy praying and blessings for her at this time and her mother. So that's what I'd like to
ask. Was the daughter the one who was the nurse or the mother?
The daughter's the nurse. The mother is a retired school teacher. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So she was adopted, I'm sure, into a loving family.
Oh, very loving. Extremely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the things that she needed, I mean, bedtime prayers and taken mm-hmm. out to all the community events, very involved with the school. Yeah, she had everything. I mean, personally, it seems to me it's a chemical imbalance kind of thing they're trying to work out with the meds. But
it could be. We have so many new strange chemicals in our environment, in our food. It could be.
Yes.
And then there's also a problem, a vast problem in our culture of actually welcoming people to really find their place and belong. That's one of the things we all need to work on, because it's not just the problem of immigrants coming in. It's our own kids growing up and finding no place in the world where they feel like they belong. Just think of it this way. If you had grown up in a world where by the time you reached 20, 24, something like that, there was no place you belonged. That's why the suicide rate is so high. That's why different illnesses are so high, because we draw our strength from the infrastructure we create socially between ourselves and other people. It's actually been discovered that the real secret to people living over 100 healthily, independently, are because they live in what's now being called blue zones. And those blue zones are where people over 80 are actively creating a positive community to live in and belong in. And it apparently makes all the difference.
Yes.
So there's something about these two commandments that we need to be applying with serious dedication. And I think one of the biggest problems we have in becoming serious about these two is we have really a limited perception and belief about what love is. We think love is intimacy. We think feelings, affection, wanting to be close to something or someone, wanting to give or receive benefits from something or someone. Love is thought of as a close-up and personal type of bonding. Well, you know, in that case, you cannot love a rattlesnake. You can't. But if we're going to have a healthy environment, we got to love them. You can't love your enemy if that's your only definition of love. But what about helping your enemy find their own space in the world where they can create their own community, their own family, their own values, and their own way of life? You know, what's wrong with that? We have to learn that love is not just about what's on a Valentine's card. That's childish. That's juvenile. We've got to, and I think that's what Yeshua was trying to teach his apostles when he said, you know, anybody can love their brother. That's easy. Who can't love their brother? Anybody can love their parents, their children. That's not what I'm talking about. Go out and love your enemy. He was trying to tell them, create a larger envelope. And as a society, we're not doing that. And my friends, socializing and socialism is not going to create it, because that's just a government-instituted type of inclusion, integration, and facility. That's not love either. We're going to have to find out what love is. And I think that is the goal of the next – I think that's the big goal of the next generation. You know, they kind of got the catchwords, inclusion, equality, acceptance, and so forth. But the buzzwords aren't gonna do it. That's not going to do it. We're going to have to find what love really is, especially if, in fact, our whole universe was created as love, from the one who simply is love. We're going to have to find out what that is and what it means and how to implement it into creating the heaven on earth that we all desire. And we're going to see medical healings as we do that. It's not just going to be families that get along better. We're going to see terminal illnesses just suddenly disappear, because we find where those distorted and disfigured cells belong and why they were created, because the body created something that never found a place to belong. What's it all about? We're going to dare to ask the question, what's it all about?
Right. And it leads us right into knowing and learning who we really are. And, boy, when you can love like that, Glenda, in hard situations, I think for me, it's always that incredible epiphany of like, well, that like Yeshua said, we have that wellspring within us. We have that capacity within us. And it's just, it's pretty astounding when we are that, or be that, you
exactly.
know? It's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Kathy.
And it's not, thanks, Kathy. And our blessings are with these children, and especially this one that you're so concerned about. All your little fish, may they swim in grace and bliss.
Thank you.
And Glenda, can I just ask something? It might be something, Kathy, that you might be thinking of. Sometimes when I think about all these kids and in these situations and the emotional turbulence and later on that things crop up, you know, Glenda, what do you think about, you know, when he said, you know, nobody's above sin and nobody's above taking on some aspect of the negative legacy in the world of the adamantine particles, and that we're really, our responsibility is to transmute these things with love. And, you know, because there's so many, there just seems like more and more and more mental health stuff and more kids, you know, what's going on in terms of just sharing the legacies or the, you know, just taking
in this case, because, I mean, the situation's been on the news and that social media has been very, very negative and nasty towards her. Because
I'm so sorry.
And so that's just got to be, you know, it's devastating to her and to her mother.
Of course.
Alexis in our prayers. What is her mom's name?
Tony.
Okay.
I'm so sorry to hear this, but, you know, there is hope. He didn't come here for the perfect people. He didn't come here for the perfect people. In fact, he let us know that. He was very explicit about that. I didn't come here for the perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
I came here to make those, the rest of you, perfect. And the perfect people didn't like hearing that.
That's good. Okay, Kathy.
We all have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility in what everyone suffers.
Yes.
And we don't realize that that's a big part of the lesson he brought to us. He accepted responsibility.
Yeah. And that's kind of part of what you were saying, of being here for one another. And that's how we bring that heaven into people.
Exactly.
In these situations.
Exactly.
And, well, thank you, Kathy, for bringing up such a tender subject and such a challenging thing. So we appreciate
you
calling. Yeah. Glenda, we have Caroline. Happy New Year, Caroline.
Can you hear me okay?
You've got some disturbance in the background.
How about now? Is that any better?
Not much.
Better.
If you can't, you know what? I can just take the headset off and talk straight in the phone if that's easier.
There you go.
I think I'll do that.
How
is that better?
Yes.
Great.
Oh, much better.
So I wanted to... first of all, express gratitude for, again, all the wonderful friendships and relationships that I have here in my community. And I also wanted to ask for a blessing because I have an opportunity to meet quite an important influencer, and I wanted to be able to get my message about breast cancer out to more people about, you know, the BRA breast cancer link and how... and the dangers of breast implant illness. Those are two things I always talk about when I do interviews because, you know, that's connected with the book I wrote. So I would like a blessing for that to go well. I'm hoping to be able to meet this guy sometime between maybe Thursday and Monday of this coming week. And I also would like a blessing for my son, my eldest son, who's going to be doing, trying to create some really helpful courses for people, filming some courses about medical stuff. So I'm hoping that that will go well, and we've got some really good people coming to town to help him with that, and it's all going to happen here on Maui. So those are the things I would like some blessings for. And then the third blessing is for you, Glenda, because I was sad to hear you had problems with the flu and that you're still dealing with some of the respiratory issues that you've had for a while. And mm-hmm. I really would like a strong blessing from everybody yeah. for that to mediate and get better. And I'm sort of looking forward to next Saturday when we're going to have a session together.
Yes, we're going to have many sessions for a while until we have our blessing givers team, marching to the music of God.
And how many weeks do you think you're going to be doing that for?
I have no idea. We're just playing it by ear, Carolyn.
Playing it by ear.
As long as we need
whatever
it.
Joshua wants.
Yeah, as long as we need it. Let's just leave it that way. But, you know, we all have different schedules come up. And, when we get to where not very many people are showing up, we'll just say, okay, go do it, guys. Go do the work.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. I've already got some questions written down, more questions to ask about that. So I'm looking forward to
it. I'm sure you do. you are a great interviewer. Okay, Carolyn.
Well, thank you very much. And so those two blessings for getting my breast cancer message out, and also for my son's medical film work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I have a comment reply, kind of a build on top, icing on top of your breast cancer research and presentation. I think a lot of it has to do with not stopping the flow of fluids in our body, not stopping the flow of our, our great, arterial and autoimmune fluids to go through our body. Well, I kind of want to add that to everything else that everybody has brought up today. What about keeping life flowing? Keeping life flowing. Because Yeshua said, I asked him what life was, and he said, life is love in action. Wow. Okay. Life is love in action, and we don't yet know the fullest and complete definition of love, how about let's just keep life flowing? Keep it flowing in our body, which is why exercise is so important. Let's, wherever we need to detoxify. That will keep it flowing. That will keep our liver and our kidneys flowing. Whatever we need to stretch, move, breathe, walk. And then on top of that, how about having heartfelt conversations with our friends and our family, our loved ones, our people that we can have influence with, or they perhaps can influence us in the right direction. Let's keep life flowing. And I think that really gives us a generalization of how to love without having to always identify it as love. Because, you know, a lot of things we do in life may be love we don't recognize. A lot of things we receive in life may have been love we didn't recognize. But how can you get it if you don't keep life flowing? Let's keep life flowing. And I would even say that into our social and economic condition that we are perceiving in our country. We don't really know how many statistics are false. We don't know how many statistics are real. And one thing I do know is that you can always find affordable food if you look for it. You can. You can always make your life more energy efficient if you look for ways to do it, you can keep life flowing. And I think you need to do that. We're probably at the point where large luxury purchases would not be a wise thing to do, because we don't know how much our surplus might be drained for who knows what purpose. But you can always still go to the stores around you. If only you buy a card, you have no idea how it cheers up that merchant that they made a sale. Somebody was willing to come into their store and buy something. And it might have just been a $3 gift card, but that's okay. It cheered somebody up, and then whoever receives it is going to be cheered up. Let's keep life flowing. And one of the things that happens systemically everywhere, is that fear stops people from exchanging. It stops people from going out. It stops people from talking. It stops people from trusting. It causes people to pull back on everything in life. And have you noticed that the biggest problem we have in our country and our world is fear right now? Fear is going to stop life from flowing. And my friends, right, that's a very dangerous condition. It's probably the biggest danger we have. And, of course, one of the messages you're getting out about the problem with bras and breast cancer is the way we're fitting them and wearing them stops a very big flow at a very sensitive place in our body. So, guys,
that's right. I mean, the link between bras and breast cancer is actually stronger than the link between smoking and lung cancer. But the standard medical mainstream they won't show you all those studies that prove that.
Well, of course not. Actually, the trend right now is to stop things flowing. even the talk about pulling cash out of circulation. Really? Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
You really want to stop things from flowing, don't you? You know, the thing is, I will have, I'll decide to get groceries delivered to my house because I don't want to go out. But I'm really appreciative. And I pay for a tip online, but that, I don't know how much of that tip the driver gets. So I'll always have a little cash in my pocket. And I just give the driver a few dollars. It makes his day. It makes his day, guys. Really. You've got to keep life flowing wherever you can. And life will flow back to you. Okay? You can't, it's impossible to flow out without having it flow back. Now, it might flow back in a different form, in a different medium. It might flow back in good wishes. It might flow back in opportunities. Or it might flow back in money. It could be whatever form it comes back to you is something you can cherish and be grateful for. And remember the times when you flowed out. Let's keep things flowing, including smiles, goodwill, good wishes, hope, optimism for the future, and the words, can I help? Can I help, please?
Right.
I had a recent little problem with my car. It didn't turn out to be anything serious. The transmission fluid cord dropped down, and of course my car stopped in traffic. But there was enough momentum left in the car, I could pull over to the side of the road. Thank goodness for that, and thank goodness I knew what to do. But anyway, what gratified me is how many people stopped to help. I think probably a total of 10 or 15 people would pull into the parking lot next to, can I help you? Can I do something for you? Can I get your car out of traffic? That was like my bread on the water. And, you know, it's not something you can take to the bank, but, hey, it is, because it made me so proud to be in this community, to be a member of this community, to be a member of the human race, where at our best we stop to help each other. And that's such a great thing to do. So blessings can come in all forms, and every blessing is part of a flow. And as I've told you many times as we start the blessing, that it's going to come to you as energy. Everything in our universe is energy. Now, what does energy do? It flows. As long as it's energy, if it stops, what happens? It becomes mass, particle mass. And the only thing that can stop energy is a conflicting frequency or direction of energy. In other words, two energy forms colliding with each other with harmonic frequencies that cannot cannot flow. And so they have a collision, and they stop, and they solidify. And that's where it stops. If there's been a lot of conflict in your life, very likely there will be a lot of stopped flow in your body or somewhere in your world. Maybe you just don't get the brilliant ideas you once got. And it could be because you were opposed at some point with brilliant ideas you had, and it all got turned into a brick wall that you couldn't cross over. The same thing happens in our bodies. It happens in our friendships. You probably all have had great friends that went on for years, and then you didn't realize it when it happened, but you look back on it and you say, well, you know, I haven't seen her in months. I better call and find out what's wrong. And you call and you find out, well, nothing's really wrong. I just kind of got busy with my life, and I sort of had to move in another direction. But how are you doing? You know, you opened the energy flow again. And you didn't have to figure out who did what wrong. Nobody did anything wrong. It's just there was some kind of collision that created some kind of brick wall, and nobody had quite the motivation to figure out that there was a brick wall and cross over it. So that's what I would like to offer you today. Remember, your blessings will come as flow. And how fast they come? A lot depends upon how open you are to inflow. I'm serious about how open you are to inflow. Another thing is how willing you are to outflow. You cannot fill a bucket that's already full. You're going to have to empty that bucket a little bit and make room for something new to come in. Now, are you willing to have something new come in? You know, there's an irony here, and something I've had to learn the hard way, and I learn counseling people all the time. Yes, they want the benefit of a new job, and that's just, or a new relationship. All right. Are you willing to make the changes necessary for that? Well, no. I just thought it could be added on to what I am, to the way I am. Can I be who I am and have an add-on? And I just say to them, you mean your bucket isn't full right now? Well, yeah, it's full, but it's not full of everything that I want. Oh, okay. Well, let's look at you getting rid of a few things you don't want. Really? Well, how do I do that? Okay, that's lesson number two. So we go on to lesson number two, and we open a new book, which is all about let's eliminate some of the things we don't want. And you'd be surprised how many things you've got that other people would want, but they don't want to steal from you. They don't want it, and they don't even want the humiliation of asking you for it, because, you know, it's humiliating to make yourself needy and say, you know, are you still using that? I really could actually use one of those things. Nobody's going to do that. It's embarrassing. But you could have people to your house and see that they're enjoying using something you have. It's like, hey, listen, you got one of those? No, I don't have one. I was thinking about getting one. I said, hey, I've got another one. You take that. There's always a way of relieving the embarrassment. Get rid of things you don't need, you don't want. In fact, you know, that's a problem with hoarding. It really is. I have had two serious hoarders in my life. And I want to discuss the disease of hoarding. Larry was one of them, my beloved. and he was as generous as you could be about giving new energy that he could conjure up inside himself. Love, help, wisdom, ingenuity. If he could conjure it up and give them to. But he had 5 storage buildings around the country from places where he had lived, going back 30 years. And I would say, Larry, when's the last time you checked that storage building? Oh, I don't know. I was driving through that about 15 years ago. I checked it. I said, you're kidding. Okay, we're taking a vacation there next year. And the value of what you have in there is either going to pay for our vacation or we're at least going to get rid of that monthly bill coming to us. He said, oh, no. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't. Those hold memories for me. And I said, Larry, if those memories are of value to you, they will still be of value to you coming from within yourself. They don't have to be locked into an object that you pay storage on. Oh, but, you know, they meant so much to me at the time. Larry, let's go. I'm getting the ticket tomorrow. Before he was gone, we had emptied every storage building with much grief and tears. But after it was empty, I asked him to remember what was in there. So I don't remember. That's why I had to keep it. because I'd completely forgotten. I said, oh, gosh, Larry, for heaven's sake. All right, you got a lighter load. So he paid me back with this thought. Okay, well, now we could just live in a motor home. No. It doesn't work that way, Larry. I can't put our store and our cats and everything we've got into a motorhome. Oh, yes, you can. You can get rid. No, everything I've got is current and useful. So if people who have this addiction, it's a problem. God bless you if you're one of them. But I really encourage you to empty your bucket because it will allow more blessings to come in. I promise you that. And I won't talk about this anymore because I know that it's a sensitive problem to those who pay the bill for other people's storage buildings. And it's a sensitive problem for other people who have stored things they don't want to let go of. But there will come a day, my friends, when you will let go of it and you won't miss a doggone thing. You probably won't even remember it. Okay? Well, Nancy, do we have anybody else? Carolyn, we love you, and we're with you in all of your needs and desires.
We sure are. Okay, we have Susan. We're wrapping up with you. Hi, Susan. How are things today?
Better. I just, a few things I want to, you know, when we started out and he had called me and I did not call him back, so if he's still on, I just want to make my amends for that, not returning his call. But the other things that, you know, a few things said, and Nancy, you said something about when we spoke about this woman's child going through a tough time when she had a very wonderful childhood. And I often think that my middle son reminds me of my father in many, many ways. And for many, many years, I just knew that he had a lot of his adamantine particles. And he's going through, you know, a really tough time. He doesn't do Facebook, thank God, but his wife does, and she's all over it. And the bad-mouthing and the horrible things are horrible. He's going through a divorce, his wife has serious mental issues. They have a child. She explodes in front of him, seven. It's dangerous. It's horrible. And I just pray for, his name is Matthew, his son's name is Ethan, his wife's name is Alyssa, and we need prayer so this doesn't go where this woman's daughter winds up with any legal issues or any police issues. And so she's very much, and he can be get involved in that too, this drama, people, so many people are into drama, and certainly my son has his own share of that, but not to the extent that I feel my daughter-in-law does. And regardless, that whole thing is just, I find it very difficult to deal with. And I just, I know when I feel fear, and the first thing is I pray for that guidance to, what do I do next? And Nancy's came up. It was a rough night, a rough day. Nancy came up, and I have her number, and I connect with her. And that came to mind, and I did. And I'm grateful for that, for anybody else, too, if I can call in a moment of, fear. And so it's going to be a rough road for a while. And I ask you for a blessing for them. And because you all need it, and I'm here for him. I don't care. He calls me anytime. I am here. That's it. And I need to be. So that's what I want to say. And a few other things about the cat. I was in the most open, psychic state of my life. I found myself connecting with an Irish setter I have for 14 years. And I was astounded that thoughts were going back and forth. He was literally talking to me, and I was talking to him. And that was the moment when oh, my God, animals really do talk. I thought that was amazing.
Do.
And they understand everything, but they also communicate back.
They do.
And I mean, that's just an amazing thing.
That's
the other thing, when you were loved. I just want to say what kept going for me was, I want to know what love is.
When
I read your book, I would but yeah, that should be easy to do, And I laughed later, easy to do. It's the most difficult thing to do of all the things I can do, especially the areas where I'm not loving. So I'm like, oh, my God, how could I ever think, oh, that's easy?
It isn't easy, and it's complicated by the fact that we've been taught a childish version of love, and we think that's what love is. And if it's not that, then it's not love. I'm going to give you a really big. It's not a definition, because definitions stop and they confine. They have boundaries to them. But I'm going to give you an example, because you've got a situation coming up where you said it's going to be hard and there may be fear. All right. I'm going to give you an example of how you can move into love. And the first step is, whenever you start to be afraid, instead become rational. Rationality is a form of love that takes you out of threatening and different, difficult and frightening situations. Just become rational. And that leads to maybe the largest definition of all, and that is, love is what takes you into the most constructive, creative direction you could take in any given situation. How do you love a rattlesnake? Well, you call animal control, and you have them come over with a bucket and a stick where they can rescue the snake and take it out to a distant pasture where it can live its life and do its work in nature. In other words, you take the very most positive direction you can take toward creativity in the direction of getting a positive result. You know, that's keeping life flowing. Keep life flowing. And you'll probably notice that whenever fear comes about, this is true of everybody in every situation, you get frightened, you clam up, you lock down. What do? You lock the doors. You lock your heart. You lock your mind. You get fixated on one solution is all there is, and you don't look for more. So learn to ignite your rationality in any given situation, because rationality contains movement within it. It's how you move your mind around to look for the highest and best solution of whatever's happening.
Great. Yeah, and that's really good, Susan, Susan, that's so good for Matthew and Alyssa in terms of, you know, ultimately being there for Ethan. You know, you just get rational about the care of a 7-year-old and it becomes, that's the focus. So then it wouldn't have to be, that's just, helps you step back a bit. I really love that, Glenda, about, you know, it kind of takes the heat out of things, doesn't it?
Well, it's not about who did what wrong. It's about who can do what right.
Right.
Okay? We've got a wrong situation.
Right.
It doesn't matter who contributed to it. What matters is who can contribute to making it right.
Exactly.
But, you know, then I've been getting some, you know, advice of people saying, oh, you know, call the police and this and that. And my feeling is that's going to light the match and bring up the flame like crazy. And I don't believe that every bit, I don't really call and, you know, ask for advice, you know, really. It's certainly not from my daughter-in-law or this one. And that advice is absolutely, in my heart of hearts, not going to work. The lucky thing is she could tend to be, you know, she doesn't have too much control over when she goes into an episode and she can push and this, but thank God my son knows. Oh, no. We don't push back. We never push back. I have been telling him, you have 2 feet. When she starts, then tell Ethan, you're going to grandma. You don't just run out. You don't give him abandonment issues. Tell him where you're going, and you walk out. That way, he's getting the message that you don't stand there when somebody gets verbally abusive, or you don't stand there. You have to leave. Ethan is not afraid that his mother will hurt him. She will never hurt him. Never. No matter what. She will hurt Matthew. She will never hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to get out of the house. In the room, you're living under the same roof. Go in your room, but you have got 2 feet. You're not paraplegic. There are people who are abused that are. You're not. You walk out, and the message is clear. This little kid not standing there watching him, his mother, verbally abuse you and physically at times abuse you. Like I say, for me, in the moment when I was tight, immediately I turned and I said, I'm freezing up. I turned to God, advise me. And then it was call, you know, just immediately send a text to Nancy. That's a way of moving out of my fear and doing what I know I can do. And that's, you know, so I certainly know that,
thank you.
Fear
thank
is
you,
an
Susan.
Icicle. And the old, yeah, absolutely. That's what it was, is connecting with God. And when I do, I remember, you know, saying fear is the biggest thing. I can take any negative emotion and deal with it but fear. It's just, I said, so what happens? And then finally, I said, I don't know. I said, yes, you do. I said, it's an ice cube. Right. What do you need for an ice cube? I said, the sun. Why? Because it melts it. Right. That's exactly right, dude. I could make, I have combed through every negative emotion doing my 12-step work, but fear is the biggest thing.
Of course.
And, you know,
Of course.
And I am.
It's the biggest destruction there is
for prayer.
On earth. Yeah. Well, Susan, we know you're going to do the right thing, and our prayers are with you. So you just keep on doing what you know what to do.
We'll just keep surrounding this situation. Yeah, we'll just keep surrounding this situation with lots of love. Lots of love. And we're all there for one another in that regard. And so what a privilege to offer love and prayers for each other. So thank you, Susan.
Yeah. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to need to wrap it up now because we have something very special for you. It's blessings. We're going to offer the blessings of Christ. And blessing givers will join me. We've got quite a few of them on our call and some of them at home. Maybe not able to be on the call, but they're going to offer the blessings. So there are people around the world that will offer blessings for you. We're growing, and we're getting strong in our numbers. So right now, I just want to call you back right into yourself. Find a little joy spot in yourself. No matter how bad things are or how bad you think they may be, there's a joy spot within yourself. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is where there's a positive blending between the inner and the outer worlds. Okay. But joy is something that's deep inside you, which is your inner potential for life and love and living forever and learning from whatever. So find that little joy spot within you. And now what we're going to do is we're going to just stretch our arms out. Okay, just stretch them as much as you can. We'll start with the upper part of our body because some of you may have been sitting for quite a while. So let's start with the upper. And swing your arms around a little bit as much as you can. Some people do get kind of locked shoulders, but you can still stretch. Do whatever you can to get movement in your arm. Bend it at the elbows and then flap it like wings. Okay, because that lifts your rib cage, and lifting your rib cage will set you up for much deeper breathing. Now, if you can, let's stand. And if you can't, that's okay. We'll still stretch those legs out. I want you to stretch your legs out. And if you need to hold to the doorknob, do that, or any piece of furniture. But make little cartwheels with your legs. Bring your foot forward so you stretch your hamstrings. Do the other one. Bring your foot forward and make little cartwheels with it. So you're going to, now I want you to point your toes so you stretch the front, your shin and your thigh muscles. All right? And make little pointy toed spins to get your legs moving. Now move your body from the right to the left and right to the left so you're flowing. All right? Now turn your body to the right and turn your body to the left. Bend over a little bit. Doesn't have to be a lot, but enough that you stretch your lower back and stretch your shoulders, all right? And bounce a little bit up and down so you create a little movement through your torso. And then move your neck up and back so you get a front stretch. You know, don't lose your balance, but just get a nice little front stretch and move your shoulders back. All right. Now move your head, your arms above your head and reach for the stars. Now I want you to take a very, very deep breath, deep as you can take it. Stretch that diaphragm down. Expand those ribs. Hold it for a few seconds. And now let it out and allow your shoulders to drop and your diaphragm to come up into a natural position. Okay. Now we're going to do it again. We're going to take in a full breath of life. Okay, let's call it life. Expand your shoulders. Expand your ribs. And expand your diaphragm. So you can bring in all the life you can hold in your body. Hold it for a second. Turn to your right. Turn to your left. Now exhale. and let it all out. We want now just to go to our four square breath. Our four square breath, for those who are new, it's just a simple, your ordinary walking around breath. Just, you know, the way you breathe, sitting in a chair, walking around, making your dinner, and so forth. But what we're going to do is we're going to be mindful of it. We're going to count our out-breath to four, whatever your four is, and pause to that same count of four. We're going to inhale to the count of four. Bring it in, baby. And then we're going to hold it to the count of four. Again, exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Can you feel the air flowing and moving through you? That's what I want. Now continue doing this for just a couple more minutes. The reason we do this is because we're giving a chance for that which we give out to be received. We inhale and we give a chance for what we inhaled to be used, accepted, and received. And then we give again with a pause to let it be received and accepted. We often forget to put that pause in. You know, we expect if we take a B12 shot, we're going to be feeling dancing to the stars by night. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it takes a few B12 shots, and it also may take some resting in between. We've got to let the things rest. We take something in, we want to accept it, use it, and then we give forth that which we're willing to empty from the bucket, and we let it be received and utilized before we take in more. Don't be impatient in your breathing. Don't be impatient in your life. Don't worry. Does God hear your prayer? He hears everything. But that which you're praying for may not currently be available unless all the rules of creation were broken to get it to you. And yes, he could do that. In an extreme emergency, yes, he could get that to you, and often does. And there are many miracle stories that tell about these things, and they are real. They're not fiction. But most of the time, he also wants you to learn about giving and receiving that flows in the river of life, that flows in the stream of giving, receiving, and exchanging with others, which is what we've largely been talking about all day today. So continue your breath of the four square breath of being mindful, giving, pausing, receiving, pausing. Continue that while I offer my invocation, my request to Yeshua. Lord of life, we praise you. We thank you. We humble ourselves before you, appreciating all that you've done for us, all that you've done to create a place worth living in, to bring us into the company of friends and spiritual family who are here for us. We thank you for the miracle of life itself. And we humbly present our further request that has caused trouble to our minds, our hearts, not always for ourselves, but for others. and we would ask for special attention in these regards. Just listen to the prayers of those who've assembled, that which they need, that which can benefit their life, and give them that push forward of living and loving and creating. While we're at it, we ask for peace on earth. We ask your strength to be with those who have dedicated themselves to the spirit of peace and the bringing of peace to our world. We know that humans created the discord, and we can fix it with hearts of peace, spirits of joy, and gifts of love. We ask for the inspiration and the direction to do these things. We ask that you forgive us for all the times we didn't even know that we could actually make a difference. Thank you for letting us know that we do. And we ask for your help in becoming that difference we would like to see in the world, that we may be a blessing to others who live with us, and a blessing to those who just simply see us on the street or share life with us. At a greater distance, we ask that you would feed the hungry and care for the sick. Hold the children in your arms and give them love, that they may learn that love is all that matters, and learn to see how big love really is. Now we ask that you would be with us here today as we come to join one another and you in the conduction and receiving of your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God our Father. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting the blessings? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you have to complete the receiving. And you start by just lying down. Just get flat on the bed, on a sofa, on a mat, whatever works for you. I want you horizontal because that is where you lie upon the earth. And you allow the earth to receive you and have you. And in the process of receiving you, you receive all of your blessings. The template is placed upon you like a map, like a quilt created by God. That template is impressed into you, and the earth sucks it down. So just be flat. If you fall asleep, that's fine. All the better. Just be there for at least 7 minutes. Okay? And I wish you a wonderful week and a wonderful opportunity to receive so many, many more blessings. Bye, guys, for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.